This podcast is brought to you with limited interruption by Rudy Luther Toyota. Whether looking for an exciting brand new Toyota, a certified pre-owned vehicle, or getting quality routine maintenance and service for your vehicle, Rudy Luther Toyota is the place to go. Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley. All along the Civic Media Radio Network, it's the Matt McNeil Show for your Monday. Good to be with you. Milwaukee Metroplex in Waukesha on WAUK 540 AM 101 FM The Shaw. In Devil Radio 92.7 FM in Madison, Wisconsin. WTTN 1580 AM in Columbus. And of course at AM 950, the progressive voice of Minneapolis, St. Paul, and of Minnesota. Good to be with you today. Matt and Patrick here today. Patrick, did you have a nice weekend? Was it a good weekend for you?
Yeah, it was pretty quiet. How are yours?
All righty, outside of the roasting pit we've got outside right now. When did Elson become god-awful hot outside? My God. It was bad yesterday. I was at the Raspberry Festival in Hopkins. And, yeah, delicious. Caligula with raspberries, that's all you need to know. But it got hot, and I'm like, okay, is this a trend? And apparently it is for the next 2 weeks.
Yes, it'll be a pretty gross time.
Who wants to sweat? Oh, yes, delicious. Coming up a little bit later on. First of all, there was a huge rally for abortion rights in St. Paul yesterday. A little later on this hour, we're going to play some audio from Representative Ilhan Omar, Minnesota 5th District. She had a very good speech out there at talking to the crowd. We'll play that. Also coming up in the 4 o'clock hour, our Democrat of the day from the Minnesota 28A district is going to be Eric Johnson. But joining us right now, this is one of the best parts about being on the air in new markets. I get to bring to you great guests who are just an absolute privilege. They make my show better. My show is better with them on. And a great example of that is our first guest. Cliff Schechter is a national pundit. You've seen him on television. He's a noted author. He has a great YouTube page. Cliff Schechter, look for that. And of course, he runs Blue Amp Strategies, a great messaging campaign business that will help your business, will help your campaign with the right messaging for this season. Cliff Schechter is kind enough today to join us to talk about the issues of the day. Hey, Cliff.
Hey, buddy. Look at you, man. You're in like 47 markets.
Or five or six. But I mean, a lot of
it's going huge, Matt. I knew it. I knew it was going to happen.
Well, I love it because it's just, it's opposed to like having like one station out in like Texas. It's all stations around the upper Midwest. These are my people. I was born, raised here. These are my people, so I get it, and trust me, it's just an absolute pleasure to have to be on the air in Madison, Milwaukee area, Waukesha, but as well to bring you in there as well, because now I get to show them why you are just an amazing person to talk to.
Well, thank you. I don't get to claim upper Midwest, but I am in the Midwest, so at least I've got that going for me.
Cincinnati's a fine town, man. I like Cincinnati.
Oh, Cincinnati's a fantastic town. I would brag about Cincinnati all day long. It's some of the politics of certain gerrymandered parts of this state that have been getting in the way of Ohio being what it could be. That's a problem.
Well, you definitely have a loon ballville there when it comes to your representatives. I'll say that for sure.
And that would be the honest way of putting it, and I'd put it certain other ways, but I know I can't say four-letter words on here, or you'll get kicked off your new station.
Well,
so I won't.
Well, let's start actually with your attorney general, who for some reason went on the warpath against this 10-year-old child who was raped and because of Ohio's retroactive anti-choice law had to go to Indiana to get an abortion. He was insisting this person, after Joe Biden mentioned it, Republican, the new narrative was this person didn't exist. And then basically it became true. He went out there. He was on television. He was on USA Today. Your attorney general went out there and basically re-victimized this 10-year-old by insisting she didn't really exist. And when the truth came out, that coward all of a sudden said, well, I've got COVID. I'm not talking to anyone, and ran away.
Of course.
Of course.
Well, look, this is why the message needs to get out to people, that this is not a Donald Trump thing. Donald Trump is everything he thought he was and more. But what he did and what the Supreme Court did is literally just pull the veil back and unleash the id of all the sickness and the evil that is this Republican Party. That, you know, the gerrymandered districts that have produced these loon balls, as I believe you called them, in states across the country, have sent them to Congress. Another person, of course, who attacked this little girl was Jim Jordan, who was one of the most gerrymandered districts in the country. And that moron could not get elected among an electorate with an average education, much less where he is right now. So let's step away from him for a second. David Yost is our AG. He was our auditor before. He got an award from one of these, online and charter school organizations that ripped off our entire state. And he went to bat for these guys forever. And, of course, he was the auditor. Self-auditing is always very tough. So he got promoted to attorney general, even though he's corrupt as hell. And for his ideology now, he will go on TV. He will go on radio. He'll go on anywhere that will have him. And he will a little 10-year-old girl. I mean, just think about this for a second, because I know I've got a niece who's 10 years old. And he wants to force a 10-year-old girl who is raped to have a child. But first he needs to insult her. She's been traumatized. Her body has probably been damaged psychologically. You can't even imagine the impact. And now we're forcing her to travel out of this state. And she has to go and add all that. But on top of that, this person who I won't call the name I'd like to call on your station goes and takes this little girl and calls her a liar.
Yep.
I mean, how evil, how vicious, how corrupt. I mean, what kind of a garbage person do you have to be to do that? And that's who David Yost is. That's who the Republican Party is in Ohio. But wanting to outdo us and prove that they're just as awful, if not more, you've got, I believe he's a former congressman, Todd Rokita, who's the attorney general in Indiana, who's now, of course, investigating the doctor there.
Yeah.
They weren't as quick as we were to pass a 6-week ban and to decide they were going to torture raped girls and women, and frankly, other women. So, the doctor was following the law there, but no, he wants to intimidate doctors from doing this, from helping 10-year-old girls. Mm-hmm. I mean, if anyone, has ever been around someone pregnant before, what a pregnancy can do to a 10-year-old little girl's body, which nobody's talking about here.
Yeah.
And then in plenty of these states, of course, the Republicans are the party of rapist rights, where numerous of these rapists can make claims because they're now the father of a baby that never would have been. And, they can claim all sorts of things, visitation rights. I mean, I couldn't think a party that elected Donald Trump, a party whose longest speaker of the House was Denny Hastert, who went to prison for molestation of like a 15-year-old boy. Like, I couldn't think they could sink lower, but here they are.
You know, it's interesting to bring it up because you definitely bring up the Indiana case where, she didn't do anything illegal. As a matter of fact, she followed the law absolutely accordingly, but they're still trying to find and a doctor, and they're still trying to vilify her. The way that they're kind of trying to downplay this. I went to go down to San Antonio, Texas. There was a story down there. A doctor had a woman whose baby was dying, but she could not give her the emergency abortion she needed for a day. That woman had to suffer for a day.
Keep bleeding out.
Yes.
I read that story.
Yeah,
liters of blood she lost.
And they had to keep doing this because the state's law basically said as long as that dead child was still, and it was basically dying, as long as it still had a heartbeat, they couldn't do anything. So for a day, they had to basically put this woman's life in danger just so that they could pass this Republican-induced hurdle to save her life.
Right. I mean, these sick perverts. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm just tired of anybody even trying to use the slightest sort of reasonable language for them. They are sick security state perverts. They want to peek in your bedroom. They want to come in and tell women how to live their lives and how they can control their lives. And the thought that this is going to have no impact on women who are trying to work, women who are trying to raise a family, women who are in poverty, who the Republican Party spends all its time trying to make even poorer by cutting child tax credits and other measures like that. I mean, again, like the debased sickness of these people. And it's just like the Donald Trump's election was kind of like the first thing. I mean, it'd been going on for a while behind the scenes. Trust me, Newt Gingrich and Mitch McConnell and a lot of these folks who staffed the Bush administration, they're back around now. It's Rudy Giuliani and the rest of them. But it took like Trump and then it seems like this Supreme Court to sort of just like to rip the sort of or let's say break down the wall and say, just do whatever you want. It's all your id now. All of you sick, religious fascists, all of you sick, corporate nuts who want to try to impoverish all of your workers. Go for it. See what you can do. Mm-hmm. It's party time. And that's what we're getting right now. I mean, obviously the gun law too, another shooting in Indianapolis. I'm sure, Todd Rokita is probably too busy trying to make sure the next 10-year-old girl is tortured and the next doctor goes to prison. So he wouldn't want to do anything like try to figure out what the hell happened at a mall in Indianapolis where a bunch of people were murdered.
I want to go back, going back to the Roe v. Wade. One of the things I wanted to mention is Tom Emmer, who's the Minnesota 6th congressman, who's running, I think he's the RCCC, he's running the congressional campaign for the Republicans. Clearly, the Roe v. Wade numbers are really against the Republicans. As a matter of fact, Fox News came out with a poll today. 61% of people wanted Roe v. Wade to stand. That's a Fox News poll that said that.
Yes. And I've seen others as high as 70%.
71, I think, was the highest one I've seen so far. But nearly, say it's 60 to 70%. That's not a winning strategy, especially in suburbs. So now, and I've seen Tom Emmer and other people kind of put this out there, it's not just abortion, but they're trying to float this idea that Democrats want to kill babies that have been born one, two to 3 days afterwards. They're clearly, the numbers have hurt them so much in this upcoming election campaign, they're frantically trying to repackage this argument in a way that, you know, just turns the other side into Satan and see we're justified in violating everyone's rights.
Well, that's all they know how to do, right? I mean, they don't have any policy proposals for anything, right? Like, every once in a while, one of the few who is just has, you know, terrible politics, but at least is a sane person, like Mitt Romney, comes out with a child tax proposal, tax cut, you know, and that kind of thing. And you're like, oh, wow, even if it's not the best policy in the world, a Republican just actually proposed a policy that might actually help some people. But 99% of it, it's all performance. It's all, what can I tweet out? What ridiculous things can I say? You know, what lies can I tell? And, you know, this they're taking this, you know, from one of their past playbooks. This has a provenance from, you may remember in the 2016 election, when a number of them got up on stage there because one of those anti-abortion lunatic groups, I don't even remember what their name anymore, was created this fake video. Do you remember that was doctored?
Yeah.
And they claimed that Planned Parenthood had killed a live baby, which, of course, was just blood libel.
Well,
and utterly disgusting lie.
Cliff, I'll tell you what. Let's take a break right now. I got to take a break. I'll let you finish that thought when we do come back. Cliff Schechter is kind enough to join us. Go follow him on YouTube. He's absolutely sensational. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
A knife and a
It's the Matt McNeil Show for your Monday. Good to be with you. Thank you for watching, by the way. You can watch the show on Facebook. Go to AM 950 Radio or Progressive Citizen X Matt McNeil Show on Facebook. Speaking of online, by the way, once again, Cliff Schechter kind enough to join us. The YouTube page is www.youtube.com/C Schechter. C-S-C-H-E-C-T-E-R. I will link to everything on the social media pages a little bit later on because, of course, we're going to spotlight this. Cliff Schechter kind enough to join us today to talk about the Roe v. Wade and other issues. Now, go back to what you were saying. It's like, you know, when we're talking about the fact that the Republicans have to exaggerate and make up crimes to basically try to get people on their side because their position is so unpopular when it comes to the general public.
Right. And look, I'm sorry. Like, I try not to get so enraged, but I mean, when you lie about people murdering live babies, like what is the point that we've gotten to? You know, Ted Cruz stood up on a stage in 2016 and he repeated that he'd seen that video and that had really happened. When it was an edited video, an out and out lie. This guy whose response to actual live little children, like babies being murdered in Uvalde was, hey, let's really make sure the doors are tougher, right? Like, they couldn't actually care about saving kids who were being shot to death. But they pretend this fake video is something that just horrifies them. And here's the thing. You know, you brought up the Roe versus Wade numbers, right? 61%, 70%, somewhere in there. What do you think the numbers are about forcing 10-year-old raped children to have babies?
Well,
give their rapist parental rights. You think that polls it better than 3%?
No, that's why I think the Republicans are so desperately, either they're saying nothing or they're desperately trying to turn this into something, you know, other than it is. And it's just not. The one woman who was on Congress saying, oh, she would have been able to get an abortion. And she's like, no, she wouldn't have. That's why she had to go to Indiana. And they try to make it seem like they're compassionate. But the reality is these laws they passed, like when we mentioned in San Antonio down in Texas, they don't give any wiggle room for humanity. It basically is just a political ideology put out there.
Right. As long as they don't find a way to steal this election. You know, and which they're working on, and the Supreme Court has agreed to take that case that could give state legislatures primacy over state Supreme Courts. so that their gerrymandered legislatures could try to keep, in certain states like mine, could try to keep themselves gerrymandered forever. You know, as long as they can't pull that off, there's, you know, the lies they will have to tell, even with their huge advantage, with their investment, you know, in dishonest propaganda, essentially Putin talking points media, like Fox News and Sinclair and Salem Radio and the rest of them, even with all of that, they can't win on this. They can't win on, hey, Highland Park, let's, you know, that makes a lot of sense. Why don't we give more people guns so they can shoot innocent people and destroy families and leave little boys without parents to grow up? Mm-hmm. They can't win on the abortion question. They can't win on the climate question. They can't win on guns. They certainly can't win on Ted Cruz opening his big yap now about marriages and saying that there shouldn't have been, that we should not have guaranteed marriage for gay couples. I mean, you know, I mean, they're so extreme, they're so utterly ridiculous that they're talking to about 15% of the population at that point. And they need to propagandize everyone else and stop enough people from voting who are sickened and horrified by that. And I know quite a few who I would call Romney Republicans who voted for Romney in 2012, friends of mine who work in finance and, you know, and are marketing and stuff like that, who now are just like, how do we get this party out of power everywhere? Mm-hmm. That's what they've done, and they know it. They can see it in the polling because they're so ridiculous. Well, so you know, that's what they're going to do. I mean, they're going to have to make things up. They're going to have to lie, and they're going to have to create an alternate reality. Democrats are killing babies. I mean, inflation is, you know, or gas prices have started to come down. I think at one point, I think it's been down 32 days in a row. Who knows? Maybe they'll just make up what gas prices are and say they're three times what they are. I mean, that's the sort of thing they have to do at this point.
I've run into some Republicans that say that stuff too. I mean, they're already saying that. But, I mean, okay, and undeniably, the gerrymandering, the fixing of the elections, that's a major problem. But I've also made the point of a lot of Democrats haven't shown up or have voted for candidates that never had a chance, and we need to solidify. Is the overturning of Roe v. Wade, in your mind, will this anger, you know, frustration, you know the motivation, will this last until November? Do you think that this turns the tables and we can actually see the House, the party in the White House, actually pick up seats in the House and the Senate?
I do, because they cannot stop themselves from being extreme.
Exactly.
If you
yes.
think about, I mean, we've talked about this case with this 10-year-old, but if you think about it, they kept it in the news by calling her a liar, made themselves look even worse. Then the Indiana guy steps up, and he has to keep it in the news because he wants to demagogue too. Now suddenly he's probably got right wing lunatics calling him and like, why are people able to come to Indiana for abortion? And so he's got to run to his far right, and so like they can't get out of their own way because they spent their time courting a religious fascist white supremacist lunatic right wing base, and you know the Charlottesville guys marching around. They spend their time, you know, creating that as their base, and so now they have to sort of march lockstep, no pun intended, with those guys, and otherwise they risk losing them. And all sorts of normal people, many of whom are Republicans and are just horrified by this, they lose along the way. So that's the issue, is that if they could shut up about it, then, you know, it might be something that would go away. But they can't, because it's who they are, because they're cruel and they're corrupt. And they're going to keep talking about these things, each of them trying to one-up the next one, because they'll start running for president, all of them, soon, and they'll each be trying to get as far to the right as the next one. So who knows? Maybe next to a 9-year-old or an 8-year-old, right?
Oh, well,
and maybe now it's people are required to go buy AR-15s in every state. I mean, who knows? You know, but they have to go there to try to get to the right of each other.
Well,
so
how about all these laws where they want to basically prevent women from crossing borders if there's a suspicion? I mean, or sending, what was in Texas, they were talking about sending National Guard troops to European hospitals to prevent American citizens from being able to get abortions there. I mean, it's they can't get out of their own way, which is a good thing for the Democrats, because you're right. The more that they go down the loony bin train, they basically, the more to a very small niche are they talking to.
That's exactly what it is. And so that's why I think it will stay in the news. And I think that there's too many of them who are too crazy. They've lost control of the plot. They've lost control of, you know, they pandered to these guys forever. And then they start encouraging them to run for elected office. And then they start encouraging them to take over state parties and local parties. And now the nuts control the asylum. Mm-hmm. And so that's the situation. So, yes, I do think this will stay out there. you were right what you said before. Democrats, we've gotten in some of this trouble because, no, we haven't come out and voted like we should. You know, as I always say to people, you're not getting married, okay? The candidate doesn't need to be perfect. What you need to do is take a look and say, hey, that's the person over there who's a lunatic, and here's the person on my side who I agree with 70% with, and maybe I'm not in love with. I think I'll go out and vote for the person who represents my values, and that's what democratic governance is. You know, and so I really hope people, I think that they will be reminded by all of this stuff, but I really hope that that turnout will just be insane because they'll realize, everybody will realize what is on the line. And the reason we've gotten to this point, at least some of the reason, is yes, we haven't come out and voted enough. Mm-hmm. And yes, Democrats haven't been aggressive enough and haven't gone out and said the truth. I'm not saying everybody, especially those running for elected office, should be talking about Republicans the way I do. But you know what? You need to tell some truth.
Yeah.
And we've had more and more Ruben Gallegos and Katie Porters and Eric Swalwells and sort of that next generation in our party willing to do
Cliff,
that.
Cliff, I got to.
I can't wait for more.
I got to stop you there. You can understand why this guy's brilliant. He makes my show better. Cliff Schechter at YouTube at C Schechter on YouTube. I'll link to everything later. Cliff, thank you very much. Take a break and come back after the bottom of the hour. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, Minneapolis, St. Paul, Devil Radio 92.7 FM in Madison, Wisconsin, WTTN 1580 AM in Columbus, WAUK 540 AM and 101 FM in the Shaw in Waukesha, as well as the Milwaukee area. Good to be with you today. It's the Matt McNeil Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Cliff Schechter is absolutely sensational. If you've not followed Cliff, and you'll recognize him, he's been on so many cable news networks doing punditry stuff out there. Very passionate, been working with a lot of different groups out there. Go to his YouTube page. It's fantastic. It's youtube.com/C Schechter, C-S-C-H-E-C-T-E-R. That's Cliff Schechter. You'll find it there. Also, Blue Amp Strategies is his business there. He does messaging and marketing for campaigns as well as businesses. If you have some questions about that, I'll link to Blue Amp Strategies a little bit later on the social media pages, which is at Twitter, at Matt McNeil Show, and on Facebook, Progressive Citizen X, Matt McNeil Show. Bon appetit. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Patrick, I've become addicted to a new show. I like to call it Sovereign Citizens Abandoned in the Woods. It's called Alone, and it's a History Channel show that they're now airing on Netflix. And I'm fascinated by it because it is, although we don't really know the political ideology of any of these people out there, I think it is a little bit that Sovereign Citizens Abandoned in the Woods. What they do is they take these kind of people that are the really outdoorsy type. You know, that that just, you know, like to go out into a hunting cabin for 12 months of the year, that sort of thing. Very limited interaction. And they take them and they put them into – the one I'm watching right now is on this lake in British Columbia where there's grizzly bears everywhere. And they put them into this incredibly untamed wilderness. And let's see how it goes. They get 10 things. They can get like – and they have a variety of things they can take. A saw, they could take snares. I think they had fishing lines, stuff like this. But the reality is that it's what's amazing is how. Okay, first of all, have you seen the show at all?
I have not. No.
What's amazing is, you know what I'm talking about. It's these guys that the intro, when we started watching it, we got a lot of this in the intros. You know, I'm one of these guys that likes to live off the earth. I believe in a hard day's work. Now, can I just say this? Shut up. I got a lot of nurses I know that could kick your ass, okay? You can sit there and talk about hard day's work just because you wear gloves and are outside and cutting down a tree and you know how to gut a deer. That's great. But don't you dare kind of imply that because of society and the society jobs that no one else works a hard day's work but I do. And that kind of I don't have any patience for this. But it is kind of delightful to watch these guys walk into a plank because the great lesson of this show – the great lesson, we're all screwed. I mean, seriously, if that zombie apocalypse does happen, I know you guys say, I'm good with a knife. No, you're not. You're going to die. You just, even if the zombies don't get you, you got 2 months, maybe 2.5, and then you're just going to, because you're going to run out of food. To be honest with you, you're going and frankly, the predators take over, and as that's one of the things you don't hear a lot about in the zombie apocalypse is the fact that, well, the bears are still around, aren't they? And well, off they go. Mountain lions. Oh man. So I don't want to give away too much, but we're about 60 some days into it, maybe 70 days into it. So 2.5 months. They got to stay out there. Whoever stays out there for the longest, I think it's 120 days. That person wins $500,000. They we're up to 70 days. We're down to three people. Two of them aren't going to make it. I can't believe three or four more days. They're just not. And even the best one, and I don't want to, I'm not going to share anything. Even the best one, I don't think he's going to do too well. I don't think he's got much longer either. And so, you know, I think that's one of the things is that as much as you guys want to say, oh, I'm a tough guy, I live out in nature, I can do all this stuff. Even if you are living in a fairly rural part of the country, you are still dramatically benefited by society. Whether that's the hunting down of predators, and there are not nearly as many predators there, or the fact that you do have the access to the modern technology and conveniences, which you probably don't want to recognize, but you do benefit from. The reality is that, you know, yeah, you might last a few weeks longer, but frankly, most of these guys that run around and say, I'm a nature guy, put face paint on, I'm going to run around through the woods with my bow and arrow. You got maybe 2 months. Maybe if you're lucky, you got to hunt effectively and you got to pray that a predator doesn't come after you. But, you know, like I said, sovereign citizens abandoned in the woods alone. Watch it. It's a hoot. 952-946-6205. So yesterday we had a major rally here for abortion rights in Minnesota, in St. Paul. 5,000 people showed up for this rally. There are numerous speakers there. One of them is here, and I'm going to play today and tomorrow. I'm going to play some audio cuts from this. And so it is something that this is audio cuts of this. I want to thank Ogema Ganu Ikwe, who is the sensational newswoman from the I'm Awake Native Roots radio show. If you have it on the air in your market, by all means, listen to it. It's a brilliant show. Native American news you do not hear anywhere else. It gives you a better perspective, and Ogema is sensational. She was there. She took this audio. This is Ilhan Omar, the representative from the Minnesota 5th District, speaking at the St. Paul Capitol. Let's play this audio.
What an incredible display of power and solidarity. Thank you, everyone, for coming out today. I see so many young people here today. It is truly inspiring, but it's also a stark reminder that once a right is won, it has to be protected. Right. To all the young people here, I wonder how many of your parents attended marches like this one. And once our right to make our own decision about our own bodies was won, I wonder how many of us imagine we would be here again. For 50 years, people in this country have had a constitutional right to abortion. That is no longer the case. And I want to really make it clear that what's being taken from us ultimately is our right to privacy and our right to bodily autonomy. And what the conservative, extremist, religious right majority on the Supreme Court did is say that their religion wins out over our right to our own bodies and our right to keep our decisions about our bodies and the privacy to make those decisions. I don't know if you are as outraged as I am, but this should be outrageous in the United States of America. Because we talk about fundamentalist religious bigots in other countries all the time here in the United States, but we are not having enough conversations about the rise of the religious right here in our own backyard. People who think their faith, their God is the right one, and anything other than theirs can be ignored. People who want to govern us and tell us what decisions we should be making about our own bodies. I am sick, sick and tired of having to stand up to people who hide behind the Constitution to limit our rights because they think their religion demands it. Because to me, what the Constitution is about expanding rights, protecting liberty for all of us. It is not for the few. It is not for people who believe one kind of religious fanaticism. It's supposed to be for every single one of us. I refuse to accept the legitimacy of a court that in one breath says the constitutional right to bear arms means you can't restrict open carry gun laws or buying a rifle that kills thousands and hundreds of people. And in the same breath says we don't have the right to privacy under the 14th Amendment. Because they don't believe the states can restrict guns, but they believe states can restrict our rights to our own bodies. So if you do not realize how dangerous this movement is, this is the moment that could change so many things for us. Because I will tell you this, if we don't protect and keep pro-choice majorities, they will pass legislation to ban abortion nationwide. If we don't keep the Senate, Mitch McConnell has already promised to ban abortion the second they get control of the White House. We are lucky abortion remains legal in Minnesota. In fact, we are surrounded by states where abortion is now illegal or will be soon. But we are lucky to have a governor and attorney general, legislatures, and members of Congress who are committed to protecting our rights. But let me be clear, just like in Congress, they can go away in the blink of an eye. So if you don't want to go back to a time when old, ultra-conservative white men decide what you do with your body, you have to fight back with us. If you do not want birth control to be made illegal, you have to fight back with us. If you don't want to return to a time where queer love, queer marriage, queer relationships were banned, you have to fight back with us. If, like me, you don't want to live in a country where being trans is a federal crime, you have to fight back with us. Let's fight to keep abortion legal in our state. Let's fight to make it legal on a federal level. Let's fight to make sure we don't take a step back.
There is Representative Ilhan Omar, Minnesota 5, basically the city of Minneapolis and some of the suburbs. She is, of course, speaking yesterday in St. Paul at the rally for, in protest of the overturning of Roe v. Wade. And she makes some very good points. I mean, one, she makes the point that, you know, hey, this is due to the rise of extreme Christianity. Now, once again, religious disclaimer, I am Christian. You do or don't do whatever it is you want to do. You do or don't want to do. But I'm Christian. And this interpretation, once again, let me make sure I understand. This variation of Christianity that's being pushed by the Republicans today has very little to do with the Bible or Jesus. It does. It has to do with individuals who are using religion to push their own particular agenda. It's that simple. She talks about the fact that the Republicans, if they win, and this is everywhere we are talking right now, you know, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan, Indiana, Illinois, you're in Iowa, you're listening to us at all right now, across the country, you had better get out and vote. And I don't care if you're even in a district that's like, well, it doesn't really matter. No, you got to get out and vote because you are putting the narrative they have placed in your head that it doesn't matter. And it does matter. It matters dramatically that you vote. Because if the Republicans get control of everything, it's not just nationwide bans on abortion. It's nationwide bans on contraception, nationwide bans on who you can marry and who you can love, and nationwide laws that allow police to kick open your private residence doors and police can come in there and arrest you for having sexual relations of your choice with the individual of your choice. That's the Republican Party today. So the choice is clear. Vote. Get registered and vote for Democrats. Take a break. Come back. Matt McNeil Show on a Monday. All along the Civic Media Radio Network, it's the Matt McNeil Show. My show is brought to you by, well, Todd Golett. He's a guy, a listener, loves their station. He listens overseas, sponsors the show. He wants me to make sure I mention, I wanted to bring this up because yesterday I was at the Hopkins Raspberry Festival Parade, and one of the things they have a sister city that's in Ukraine. And, of course, they had a nice big banner saying, "We stand with Ukraine." Todd has been one of the biggest champions to help out Ukraine at all possible. He's been here helping out the show. I want to drive everyone out there listening once again to Lifeline Ukraine, which is an organization which offers suicide prevention and mental health services to the people of Ukraine in Ukraine. They've got a Patreon page. Go make a donation. Become a Patreon. Help them out. They are overwhelmed. Their services are absolutely overwhelmed right now. So if you can help out in any way, help out Lifeline Ukraine. I'll put a link out to everything a little bit later on. We go to all over the world to give you the news of the day for the Upper Midwest. Now, I've talked a little bit over the last few weeks. I don't know if you saw the John Oliver exceptional, and I mean exceptional, piece he did on Last Week Tonight in regards to the wasting of water on the Colorado River. Who would have ever guessed? A bunch of people move to the desert where there's a finite amount of water, millions and millions of people, and then they build a whole bunch of golf courses which suck up water left and right, as well as also they try to turn a bunch of rocky, dusty communities into farmland, and surprise, they've run out of water. Now, one option you could have is move. If you need water, and you don't have to come to the colder climates. For goodness sakes, you can go out to the roasting east coast. With humidity and all, you know, from really eastern Texas all the way over to Florida and North Carolina, tons. It's warm down there. There's tons of water. You'll be fine. You'll be fine. Just go move over there. Instead, there are a lot of people that are starting to float ideas about how they can basically put a spigot on either the Great Lakes or the Missouri or the Mississippi River to take as much water out, because they basically have drained the Colorado River dry because of horrible management. And, well, you move a whole bunch of people to the desert, they kind of get thirsty now and then, and apparently they're not big on conservation in some ways. Now, there is an interesting, you know, this is things that are starting to get floated. Now, the desert sun of Palm Springs, the jumble in that newspaper is as tough as it gets. The desert sun of Palm Springs had a editorial written by a guy from Red Wing, Minnesota. And I want to read this to you. Now, I'm going to be front blunt. There are one or two things that I disagree with greatly with this guy. I'll get to that in a second. But at the same time, I think I speak for most people in Wisconsin, Minnesota. No, you can't take our water. You were foolish enough to move out to the desert. That's on you, man. We're not here to bail you out. Here it is. If California comes for Midwest water, we have plenty of dynamite in Minnesota. Well, sounds like a rational response. Let's take a look-see here, shall we? I live in Red Wing, Minnesota. Recently, I have noticed several letters to the editor in your publication that have promoted taking water from the Mississippi River or the Great Lakes and diverting it to California via a pipeline or aqueduct. Aqueduct, come on, man. What is this, you know, Rome? No, it'd probably be a pipeline. I will save you some time by informing you that there is not going to happen because the local citizenry here doesn't want you to have that water. They are very, very many people, English class maybe, very, very many people living along the Mississippi River and around the Great Lakes that really, really don't like California or Californians. Now, I'll come back to that here in a second here. Californians should remember their own history, namely the Owens Valley Water Wars, where valley farmers dynamited an aqueduct that was stealing their water and draining into the sewer lines that are Los Angeles. We have plenty of dynamite in Minnesota. My advice to you is don't Californicate the upper Midwest. This is from Paul Coffell of Red Wing, Minnesota. Now, no! I don't know if you've watched The Boys. That's another show. I just finished watching the third season of The Boys. Fantastic show. Absolutely fantastic. And the way they capture the modern pulse of conservatives in this country at the very end of that show on the last episode this season. Holy God. But no! Threatening violence is not a good thing, dude. You need to try the decaf. Tone it down. And by the way, he's talking about something that actually did happen. They were trying to divert water to Los Angeles, and the local citizens out there blew up the aqueduct. They did. Now, that was then. I don't condone these techniques, and stop it. The other major problem I have here is this is clearly a conservative guy because he doesn't want to bring up the conservative states that are just as guilty as anyone else at the draining of water, namely Arizona, Utah, Nevada, Colorado as well, the more conservative areas of Colorado. Those areas have drained off the good chunk of this. This is not just California. California is its own mess. It is what it is when it comes to water usage, and it is a mess, and an absolute mess. But they, you know, at no point do they say to themselves, maybe we shouldn't invite so many people to live out here. It's a desert. Yeah, maybe. Maybe you shouldn't build so many freaking golf courses or plant yards with grass, for God's sakes. What are you doing? I mean, that's just dumb. But it's not just California. You just going after California, dude, I'm getting those liberals. Let me tell you something. The parts of California that are talking about taking water from the Mississippi River, the Missouri River, or from the Great Lakes, they're not the liberal ones. Those are the really conservative, counties there. So before you kind of try to make this out to liberals in their lattes out in L.A., no, it's not. But... And also, don't do violence, you fool. Don't. No. No. Bad conservative. Bad. Bad conservative. No. Don't do that. That being said, there's no way in the planet I'm going to go along with any plan to start putting spigots onto Lake Michigan, on Lake Superior, on the Mississippi River, or the Missouri River. No. You're looking for a mulligan. Because you guys didn't think about maybe, just maybe, it's not a good idea to encourage people to move out into the desert. That doesn't seem like it's a good idea. You know, when you hear of these old stories of people wandering the desert, they look for oases because that's where the water was. And then they went to the oasis and they were there. They didn't look at all the dry sand area and say, you know what we should do? Take a hose. Put it in that oasis and spray this down over here so I can plant alfalfa. Hey, that's a great idea. No. No one ever did that. Because that's not a really good idea. And granted, you had a decent river there in the Colorado River. But you have basically purged that river of every bit of water. It used to be when it got to the Sea of Cortez, I believe it is, that it was there was no water there. Now it doesn't even get into Mexico. It's completely drained by the time it gets to Mexico. No, you can't have the water, but no, we're not blowing things up. And no, it's not just liberals in California. It's there's a lot of people that need to be blamed for this situation that's out there. For the fine folks in Madison, Columbus, Waukesha, Milwaukee, you got Devils Radio, I believe, coming up for you guys. Minneapolis, St. Paul, sit back and relax. Hour two of the Matt McNeil Show is coming up next, right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Hour number two of the Matt McNeil Show. Good to be with you today. Matt and Patrick here. Eric Johnson, 28A, is going to join us here. Democrat of the day coming up here in the about 4:35 or so. The Raspberry Festival was a delight. The Raspberry Festival was an absolute delight. Got out there. I have to admit, there are sometimes I go out there and I'm disappointed. It's like, where's all this raspberry stuff? This year they had people selling little, you know, like a farmer's market of raspberries. You could go buy some. You had, I got a lovely raspberry cupcake. That was tasty. And of course, nothing says raspberry than some mysteriously blue liquid on an ice. Yeah, I got one of those ice shave things and they put the blue raspberry on there. Man, that was good on a hot day.
It's blue. It might not be raspberry, so at least you got half of what you're looking for.
Well, I think it's more like the Sound of Music, where it's like it's been so cold. It's been too cold for you know, strawberries. Oh, because they turn blue. You see, there you go. There you go. No, it was delightful. It was a nice parade yesterday, a long parade. God, I think that was an hour and 40 minutes parade. And yeah, just a lot of fun out there, a lot of good bands out there and some good floats and had a good time with that. I do think the Anoka Halloween one is the longest one. How long is Aquatennial? That's on Wednesday night, isn't it?
Yeah, probably run through Sunday, I would think.
That's a long parade, man. People are needed. They got a lot of residents downtown. They go runs down Hennepin Avenue, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a nice wide street there. You got to go down there. And so, yeah, if you're going to go on out and enjoy that, do enjoy that. I hope it goes well for you there. We are looking at hot weather coming in. We do definitely need to be careful out there. The hot temperatures are really coming back with force. And it's going to stay this way for a few weeks. So, you know, just stay hydrated. It's 94 right now. Here's your future forecast. 96 tomorrow, 90, 89, 90, 88. Oh, cool, down to 86. And then we're in the high 80s, low 90s all the way until the beginning of August. I hope it gets it out of its system. It's hard going to the state fair and it's 90. Oh, that's a rough day. You can't escape. You can't go visit the animals. I mean, it just becomes a whoa. And it's you kind of have to avoid that whole corner of the fairgrounds. It's a little ripe in here. Might smell like money to you, but it doesn't smell nearly like money to me. At least I don't think it smells like my money. I need to go check that. We had unfortunately two pretty bad accidents in rural Minnesota, both of them caused by semi-trucks not stopping at a designated stop zone. The first one was down in Jordan, and this was the major one. This was yesterday, and it shut down a portion of 169 for a good chunk of the day. I think only one person is seriously injured. No one, to my knowledge, no one has died, but it was something 9 cars when a semi-truck barreled into an intersection and had a red light. Wasn't paying attention, falling asleep. I don't know what the deal had happened. They say drinking is not considered to be a problem, so they must have tested him right then. But still, a lot of vehicles. One vehicle got pushed into the other lane and got hit by another car.
I think this is one of those problems where they've slowly been taking out a lot of the stoplights on 169. So this is one of the few that's left. I think this was at Highway 282 there in Jordan.
Yeah.
Where you have people who are kind of like, oh, crap, I didn't expect a stoplight coming up because most of them have slowly been taken out. And that one is too, but that's still a few years away that they're going to turn that into an interchange there at 282. But I think that's probably what happened.
The other one was up in Moorhead. And I believe this was, of all things, a Mythbusters episode. Did you ever see the one where the car got smashed in between two semis on MythBusters, if it did happen.
I did not.
Sounds like that's what happened. Now, in the MythBusters episode, they were two cars that were heading – trucks that were heading for each other. This is a case where a semi-truck stopped, a vehicle stopped behind it, and then another semi didn't pay attention. I don't know what was going on, but hit them pretty much full bore and crushed them between the car between the two semis. Unfortunately, there, three people did die. I think they're all Minneapolis-St. Paul residents. I'm not sure exactly the details there, but yeah, it just – it's rough out there. You need to be careful. And it's one of those things where it's like, how can you be careful? You are being careful. It's someone coming up and not paying attention and doing, It's one of those things that makes you, you know, just kind of makes you stop there for a little bit and kind of reassess things. That's for sure. With the warmer temperatures, the warmer climate bringing more turbidity. I never heard of that word. Turbidity and algae blooms in the Great Lake region. Researchers are now looking at the walleye. Oh, we're looking at you. One of the lake's visual hunters. They're adapting to the changing water conditions. Apparently, Dr. Susan Gray, an associate professor of aquatic physiology ecology at Ohio State University, presented her team's findings in a webinar hosted by Ohio Sea Grant last month. See? Oh, I'm going to guess that they're just going to go with a colorful name for Erie there? I might not be most up to date on most maps, but I don't believe that borders the ocean. Ohio doesn't border the ocean there. Gray's research, which suggests which color lures walleye prefer in different water conditions, takes a closer look at how fish are responding to human-driven environmental shifts. It also offers new insight into anglers in the multi-billion-dollar sports fishing industry. Anglers in Lake Erie jump-started a new research through a citizen science project designed by Gray and her team. By working with charter captains, the researchers collected data on walleye catches, including photos of the fish, the bait used to catch, and the water conditions at the time. The data suggests walleye preferred. Okay, are you ready for it, everyone? Because this is all you want to hear is what lures are they going after. The data suggests walleye prefer predominantly white lures in clear water conditions, yellow or gold lures in sedimentary turbid conditions, and black lures in algae bloom conditions. It was really interesting, Gray explained during the webinar. This is showing that there is some variation to which base colors are more successful in catching walleye under different conditions. Now, if you fish walleye, like I fish walleye, walleye are a little temperamental when you try to fish. They're not like a northern. Northerns will... You know, they'll bite on anything. You know, northerns will bite on anything. Bass will bite on anything. You know, crappies are just – they don't even realize the size. You know, how many times have you ever reeled a lure in and a crappie that's basically twice the size of the lure itself, you know, basically gets hooked at the very end because they just, oh, I'm going to bite that. That looks tasty. They're a little, a little harder to gauge. But the walleyes, they're easier to catch. The walleyes are a little harder to gauge. The walleyes definitely have their own agenda when it comes to what they're going to do here. So once again, white lures in clear water, yellow or gold lures in sedimentary turbid conditions. So I'm going to just guess murky water, and black lures in algae bloom conditions. There you go. I would like, if you are a fisherman, if you are an angler, and you try this, I want to let know how you do. As a matter of fact, if you could, let's just do the old-fashioned Minnesota method here. Get in the boat, have one guy put on a different color lure. If it's clear water, have one guy put on a white lure, one guy put on a different lure, and fish and see how it works. And let me know how it goes. Because I want to know, is this legit? And where did you catch that fish again? You can tell me. Don't worry. I'm not going to share it with anyone. What point? What lake? Where was that at? What were you using it? Okay, good. Just for research purposes. For science. It's science, please. Come on. I'm not trying to steal your fishing hole. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. So, I've got a weird one for you. Well, it's got Grünhagen involved, so, you know, okay. Glenn Grünhagen, the representative. Remember, he was the guy that suggested when when talking about transgender people, that we should have Mr. Anti-Government Oversight suggested a statewide database of individuals born, you know, gender when they're, it was listed on their birth certificate, matched to an ID card, and that every bathroom in the state of Minnesota had to have an access panel to basically be able to use your ID card, which you had to, at that point, carry with you at all times to access. You could only access the bathroom that matched your birth certificate at birth. That was it. That was, he was, Mr. No, I don't want government overreach. Hey, by the way, where's my phone again? I don't want government overreach. I don't want them spying on me. Oh, where's my computer again? Oh, what am I watching on the streaming service? Oh, I don't want them spying on me, though. That guy suggested, and we tried to do the math. We tried to do the math on that back when he suggested this. I think the database, building the database, and the first initial distribution of ID cards alone was somewhere in the realm, if I remember correctly, of $200 to $250 million in state funds to basically give everyone in the state an ID card. That was just for the ID card. We couldn't comprehend what the cost would have been to put scanners on every bathroom in the state. I mean, we went to the Mall of America and we just counted the bathrooms down there, if I remember correctly, and we figured as much. And I went up online and I said, well, I mean, how would you, if you had a key card scanner like in an office building or something to get in, what would be the, how much would you have to cost to put one on? And I think each one was like, you know, $1,000, $2,000 at that time for a good one. That could, you know, that would unlock the door to have it installed. And so we went around just all America and we were like, okay, you're going to have how many, and what do you do with family bathrooms? I mean, cause are you going to, is this going to have to shut down all the family bathrooms? Glenn, I don't think you thought through this. Glenn, you seem like a human catcher's mitt. You really do. You've got that kind of puffy face. I don't know what's going on there, man. You might want to see some gels or some ointments. I don't know. But Grunhagen put this out there like it was a good idea, like a toddler that went to the bathroom by themselves for the first time, mind you, with one of Glenn Grunhagen's cars. This also, by the way, led to the epic episodes of, I don't know if you were, if you've been a long time listener to the show, Crotch Cops, which was Crotch Cops was a humdinger of a new show coming to ABC this fall, where we roam around the cities of Minnesota. Checking on people's crotches. Oh, Crotch Cops. Nothing creepy here. Oh, let me just see what's going on down there. No. I do miss Crotch Cops. Crotch Cops was an interest. I wish they would have bought my pilot. I wish they would have bought the pilot. Anyway, I'm bringing up Grunhagen because I don't quite understand what's going on here in a different race. Friday's Minnesota Reformer, this is from Blue Stem Prairie. Former Minnesota State Representative Roz Peterson weighed in on exactly actually how it's going to be the year of Republican women. She focused on the Minnesota House, but in recent coverage of Minnesota's 7th District candidate suggests that branding may reach further, including the Democratic primary. She talks about an article, the tip of the spear of the GOP Representative Michelle Fischbach counters Democratic agenda. The takeaway, unlike her Republican colleagues from the 6th and 8th, Fischbach refused earmarks for broadband because let's go Brandon, that sort of thing. So she basically would rather have no broadband in Minnesota 7 just because I don't want to ever have to say thank you to Joe Biden. By the way, remember the emergency relief that they put out because of all the flooding in northern Minnesota? I know, Michelle. That was Joe Biden. I know you'll probably ignore that or say, we didn't need this. But, yeah, you can say thank you. Anytime you want to write that thank you note, Michelle Fischbach, you're more than welcome to. There's more on the race in Jim Shaw's column, Republican Runs as a Democrat in the Forum News Chain. Shaw writes, attention Minnesota voters, I have a quick question for you. Who are the two Democratic Party candidates running for Congress in the state's 7th district in next month's primary? okay? You probably don't know. Well, you should know. That's because one of them is really a Republican, and I would not make that up. The unanimously endorsed Democratic candidate is retired English teacher Jill Abbasian of Sauk Center. Abbasian sounds like a Democrat. She told me she's an advocate for women's reproductive rights, rural medical access, infrastructure for small towns, and common sense gun control. Abbasian also told me she loathed the way Donald Trump behaved as president. Jill is very educated and a passionate candidate who understands Western Minnesota, said the 7th District DFL chair, Jennifer Cronin. Okay. The other candidate is a Alicia Grunhagen, who doesn't exactly push the Democratic agenda. Yeah. Grunhagen. We'll talk more about this when I do come back. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, is the Matt McNeil Show. So the Democratic-endorsed candidate up in the Minnesota 7 race is Jill Abbasian. So you have her. But then there's this other candidate who is running. And it doesn't make a lot of sense. The other candidate is Alicia Grunhagen. She doesn't push the Democratic Party agenda. On her candidate Facebook page, she proudly claims, "I'm a freedom-loving, patriotic, pro-life, Second Amendment, conservative Democrat from the heart of Minnesota's 7th District." So you might be thinking she's acting like a conservative Democrat in rural Minnesota. Well, you should know that her father's Republican Minnesota State Representative Glenn Grunhagen. Still not convinced, then you should take a look at a picture she posted on Instagram where she's wearing leggings that say, "Make America Great Again." Nobody looking at that picture would confuse her with Nancy Pelosi. This isn't even Grunhagen's first time on the Democratic Party ballot. 2 years ago, she ran and lost against longtime incumbent Colin Peterson. "It's very suspicious," Cronin has told me. This is the head of the Democrats up in the 7. "I wonder what she's up to," which is truly actually a really good question. What the hell are you doing? Okay? I don't think you're fooling anyone. I don't think that you're not that much of a threat that people are having to spend thousands and thousands of dollars to counterpoint you. It's pretty clear you're a plant. I mean, gosh, all you need is branches and green on you. That much of a plant. It is baffling. The incumbent member of Congress from the 7th District is Republican and Donald Trump bootlicker Michelle Fischbach. She is heavily favored to win the re-election. So what's the point of the Republicans such as Grunhagen hoping to run against a Republican Fischbach in a general election? "I tried to talk to Grunhagen. I left phone messages for her, but she did not return my calls. The race has been a very low profile, with both candidates having little name recognition. Perhaps that's why Grunhagen is counting on, namely, that voters who don't know either one of them will be arbitrarily vote for her. I have this crazy theory that it's a good idea for Democrats to nominate Democrats. I also think that Democrats would want to know if a MAGA Republican is trying to steal their party's nomination." Sally Joe Sorensen over at Blue Stem Prairie follows up on this. "We did a little checking and think Shaw has a point. One indication is the effort might be less serious than the lack of financial transparency. While Grunhagen's name shows up in the search for Federal Election Commission's database from 2020 and 2022 cycles, there aren't any filings online. Committee, contribution suspending, statements of candidacy, nothing." I don't know. What are the law on that? I mean, I think you actually have to actually declare some of that stuff. And it's not just those leggings on Shaw mentions. We looked into Grunhagen's personal Facebook page. We found an embarrassment of pro-GOP riches. At the top of the post, there is a picture here of Grunhagen's selfie with her sisters at Grandma Albline's funeral and interment in April. Not sure why she would sport a political button in a funeral, but hey, free speech. I mean, on it's basically a pro-Republican button there. There's these rally photos. She's basically in the album of Grunhagen's family at the December 5th, 2020 gathering outside of the governor's residence. So she was part of that clown car brigade that was over there trying to scream at the governor's residence in 220 leading up to the attempted insurrection against the United States of America in Washington, D.C. on the 20th. November 21 at the state capitol. She was out there protesting. And here's a picture from 2019 and a Rainy Parade photo with Grunhag and herself, the human catcher's mitt back there. And she's wearing a Trump Keep America Great hat. So I guess the question is, okay, you're not going to win the Democratic nomination. You don't seem to be making any money off of this. You're not filing any notifications. You've not done anything. You're clearly not taking it seriously. So why are you doing it? Are you thinking you're owning the libs? Is that what this is? It's one of the dumbest ways, I think, that, you know, frankly, I think it's one of the dumbest right ways you could possibly do that. I mean, this is stupid. Especially now that, I mean, it's the cat's out of the bag. I mean, clearly everyone, you know, is like, when you say a name like Grunhag and Grunhag. Yeah, that's right. Every time I say Grunhag, and I got to, because he sounds like a villain from a Bugs Bunny cartoon, doesn't he? Grunhagen. Oh, that's right. I forgot my role. I forgot my bit. Sorry, my bad. This is just stupid. I mean, it's okay. What it is this. My guess is this, is that she says, oh my God, I'm out with my friends and we're by the bonfire. And we're having a good time. And now that I'm going to do, I'm going to run as a Democrat. That will frick those Democrats out. They'll all be crying. Oh, God, it's going to be great. We're going to get those guys. Oh, this is awesome. I mean, that's kind of the impression of what I'm getting here. I don't know if that's what did happen. Just a pure speculation. Pure speculation. But it's stupid. I mean, there are so many better ways you could go do something out there, you know, and you know, at the very least, I mean, like I said, it's not like it's really, I mean, Minnesota 7 is a fairly conservative district. It's not as if you're really going to make that much of an impact. I am at a complete loss at why you're doing this outside of, oh my God, me and my friends, oh my God. We got this idea to go get those Democrats. Oh, my God. We're going to do it. My dad, he's so proud of me. I'm going to go do this. Oh, is that what it is? You're trying to get dad's attention? Does the princess not get enough of the king's attention? Is that what's going on here? I don't know. Dad will pay attention to me if I go out there and I pull some hijinks. Oh, my God, I'm getting some hijinks. Oh, my God, it's awesome hijinks. I have no idea what you're doing. It's just stupid. And I understand you say to yourself, oh, you're talking about it. We're owning the lip. No, you're not owning anyone. You're just a moron. That's what it sounds like. There doesn't seem to be any there. You don't have a campaign. You're not putting in any donations. You're not trying to jeopardize the Democratic thing. You got zero chance. I guarantee you all the Democrats in that area that are going to vote in the primary are going to know not to vote for you. I mean, your name is Grunhagen, for God's sakes. You may might as well go with a Doubt or a Gazelka. I have no idea what your motivation is. Was it just a night at the bonfire? Is it trying to get daddy's attention? I don't know. But I do know it's dumb, which just seems to be on brand for Grunhagens. I guess it's on brand for the Grunhagens. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Oh, my God. Look at myself. Awesome. We'll take a break. Come on back. Democrat of the day is Eric Johnson, 28A. We'll talk with him when we come on back. The Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. I believe you're expecting me. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. By the way, FYI, Cliff Schechter will spotlight that interview. The audio from Ilhan Omar speaking at the Capitol yesterday. We'll have that spotlighted as too as well. We'll get that all up on the podcast for you to listen later. And once again, on that audio, I want to make sure I send a big thank you to one of my favorite people, Ogema Gnuikwe, who is the sensational news person for the I Am Awake Native Roots radio show coming up at 6 o'clock this evening. Stay here. It is a brilliant show. Native American issues you will not hear discussed anywhere else. And Ogema does such a great job with the news there. And she took care of this video or this video audio that we have from the rally yesterday. And she basically is the one that took care of that. So thank you very much to Ogema for getting that that video for us. We'll have the audio of that speech once again available to everyone a little bit later on. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Democrat of the day. We head to the north side of the metro, actually a little out of the metro. Cambridge North Branch up in that direction. Eric Johnson is kind enough to join us today. He is running for 28A, the House seat up there, and he's kind enough to take some time to talk about his campaign. Eric, thank you very much. I appreciate the time today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
No, my absolute pleasure here. We usually start off with a real simple one for you. Why don't you explain to everyone who exactly is Eric Johnson?
Yeah, well, Eric Johnson is a native of District 28A. I grew up in North Branch. I'm a graduate of North Branch High School. And between college and my career, it's taken me to St. Cloud, then down to Des Moines, and back up to the Twin Cities, and now to Cambridge. And I don't really have a background in politics, and my background's more in advertising and marketing, but I think that there's definitely parallels between the two of them, where you need to listen to people, need to be willing to take criticism, and need to be willing to effectively communicate with people, too. And the whole reason I decided to throw my hat into the ring is with the redistricting in the state here, the incumbent representative was going to be running unopposed. And, you know, I just thought, if not me, then who? And if not now, when? So I wanted to, you know, give it a go and give it my all. And I think that there is really some untapped potential for Democrats in, you know, a traditionally red district like this. And I'm just really excited to get involved.
Eric, I want to just say, bless you, man. That is absolutely fantastic. And that's the spirit of the DFL right there. Don't just sit there and say, oh, I'm not going to run here. You go out there, you take on a challenge on this individual because it's important. I think it's important for everyone in that district. You want to have a choice. I was upset. My district, I'm Cheryl Youakim down in Hopkins here, right? The Republicans aren't even running anyone. I said, what value does that give to the citizenry when there isn't a opposition? And even the Democrats in these districts are like, why aren't you even running anyone? I agree with you wholeheartedly, and bless you, man. I'm glad you're up there running, because I tell you what, that helps get that DFL message out there.
Yeah, no, I agree, and I appreciate that. And, you know, one of the things, too, is, you know, as I said, I grew up in this district, and, you know, I've maintained deep roots within this community. I still have family that lives in this district and just beyond the edges of the district as well. And, you know, like I said, I think a Democrat can really, really have messaging that resonates up here. And, you know, the biggest thing that, you know, people want to do is they want to be heard. And I think in communities and districts like these, you know, a lot of people feel like they've been overlooked. And really what I'm trying to do is show that I'm the candidate that's actually up here, you know, willing to, you know, put my boots on the ground and talk to people one on one. And, you know, people don't have to agree with me on everything or really anything. But, you know, what I want to do is make clear that, you know, regardless, I'm going to be fighting for them and I'm going to be fighting to win their vote. And, you know, I'm going to be really authentic to who I am. I'm going to run a good campaign, and I don't pretend to be anything other than me. And, you know, I think having a candidate that's actually willing to engage with the community and get involved and, you know, be willing to hear people out on issues and just give them an opportunity to make their voices heard. I think that's what these people are yearning for.
With the redistricting, I mean, obviously, this is an area here that, yeah, I mean, when I was a kid, I mean, to go up to your district was you went well out of the city. You're getting a lot more people now from the city that work in the city who are living in Cambridge, Isanti, North Branch. I see it every time. I mean, if you drive 35 north, you're going through this district, 28A. So I guess the question here is, I mean, do you feel as if the population is starting to pick up, that you're starting to get much more of a metro area up there to where it's the long-established conservative ideals up there are starting to waver a little bit, that the population there is not necessarily representative of that old-school far-right mentality?
Yeah, I really do. And, you know, I've been in communication with some of the local Democrats who have run for, you know, state house and state senate and, you know, just local offices here. And traditionally, they have been outperforming the national Democrats on the big tickets. And, you know, to me, what that says is Democrats can play well here. And, you know, I think the biggest thing, you know, like I said, it's being authentic. It's, you know, people can see through BS and see when you're being disingenuous. But as long as you're honest and willing to give everyone a fair shake, I think that, you know, that can really resonate here. But, you know, we've been involved in some local parades and community events. And, you know, there's definitely been a little bit of a mixed reception, but it hasn't been anything outrageous. There's actually been a lot of people who have been willing to hear me out. Even some of the donors that have, you know, jumped in to support my campaign, there's a handful that I know are Republicans. And, you know, at the end of the day, they support, you know, my messaging and the causes I'm fighting for and, you know, me as a candidate. So I think it's a real mix up here, but I think you are seeing some of those more kind of traditional, the way things have shaken out traditionally, I don't think is necessarily a lock, you know, for this election cycle or moving forward.
Eric Johnson joining us, Democrat of the Day, 28A. And I think what you just said there is so important, is that you're getting Republicans who are supporting you. Because the reality is that the Republican Party in Minnesota and nationwide has gone far-right extremist crazy. And there's a lot of moderate Republicans that if you give them an option out there, that they'll say, okay, you know what, at least, I mean, I'm not for the extremism. I'm for, you know, common sense. And I might not agree with everything that Eric's doing, but I agree with enough of it here that it's a better option than going with the crazy town on the far extreme. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. And I appreciate that. And those are exactly the people that I want to win over. You know, at the end of the day, I'll take whoever is willing to support me. But, you know, that's my whole thing is, you know, people aren't going to agree with me on everything, and that's fine. But, you know, the way I'm running my campaign is I'm really trying to approach this from what I view as a common sense perspective and, you know, not ideas that are necessarily just unique to Democrats or may not necessarily fall fully along party lines. But, you know, it's who I am and what I support, you know, and at the end of the day, I'm a proud Democrat and really just want to have the opportunity to represent our district as a Democrat, too.
One of the issues on your website here, and I'm so glad you're talking about this, affordable child care. This is not a city or a rural issue. It's everywhere. Child care costs are extraordinarily high. It's affecting, I imagine, everyone in your district as well. Talk about some of the ideas you have to make sure that the child care for your district and for the state stays affordable.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's not an idea where I have it fully fleshed out yet, to tell you the truth, but I can speak as a parent. I have a two-year-old daughter, and, you know, we have her in child care and daycare, and it's outstanding. And even for, you know, a working class household like me and my wife have with two incomes, it's a challenge. And, you know, we're fortunate enough to have two incomes coming in. And, you know, I just think about it from the perspective of, you know, everyday citizens trying to, you know, make a go and struggle and get by. And it's something that needs to be resolved. And we need to figure something out to make it easier for, you know, any family, whether it's a couple, a single parent, a one income household, whatever it may be. You know, we need to make it, we need to make sure that child care is affordable and it's not going to, you know, cripple people financially to have to do.
We obviously had the overturning of Roe v. Wade, and a lot of people are kind of concerned about exactly where that's going to lead with the Supreme Court on what other things here. Some of the other things that you are very much for is protecting individual privacy, as well as also keeping the government out of your bedroom, because as I've mentioned with the overturning of Roe v. Wade, this opens up the door to bring back the old sodomy laws that used to exist, where law enforcement could kick open your private residence door and come arrest you for having an incorrect type of sex with the individual that you want to have sex with. And that, I don't think, is a road we want to go back down again. And I got to believe most Republicans agree that's probably not where we want to go as a country, to going back to, you know, people kicking in individuals' doors and saying, you know, you're violating the sex police.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that really summarizes it well. And it's an issue that, you know, should matter to both Democrats or Republicans or independents or libertarians or whoever it may be. It's, you know, this whole idea, we need to make sure that we protect our privacy. And, you know, the overturning of Roe v. Wade, shows that everything's on the table for the Supreme Court, and really, you know, nowhere is safe. You know, we're one election cycle away potentially from having even more rights stripped from us. And, you know, at the end of the day, the government needs to stay out of our business, and what we do in our bedroom shouldn't matter to anyone but ourselves.
Word. Absolutely. Wonderful. Well, wonderfully said there. All right. So you, it's great when I get to talk to someone where there's an issue I have not talked about at all. And you've got this. This is one of your issues. Give me your pitch. Why should we legalize sports betting?
Well, again, it goes back to, you know, just the idea of letting people make choices for themselves. You know, I don't want to regulate how people spend their money. And, you know, I'm a sports fan. I love all the local sports. And, you know, I wouldn't mind being able to put a bet down here or there. But, you know, an adult to be able to choose how they spend their money, and if they want to put it on sports betting, I have absolutely no problem with that. We shouldn't be, you know, forcing people to go to Iowa or Las Vegas or Wisconsin or whatever to place a bet. Let's keep it in state here, and let's find a way to make sure that it works with the tribal communities, and, you know, let's get it going here.
The concern that people bring up, and I want you to address this as well, is that you brought up Vegas. And one of the things I think Vegas does relatively well is that if people start getting out of control, they put a stop to it. They say, okay, enough's enough. We're done gambling today. They don't want people necessarily to lose their life savings on a night in Vegas. What have you seen, or what kind of rules would we want to put into place to make sure that if we're going to have gambling, which is addictive, there's a lot of people that are addicted to gambling, that we have safe measures in place to prevent that from becoming a major crisis?
You know, that's a fair question. And, you know, off the top of my head, I'm not sure of what specific measures would be in place. But I look at it like, you know, the state lottery, like scratch-offs or playing Powerball. You know, people are able to blow money on that if they choose. And I think as long as we make sure that there are resources out there for people, if they feel that they have a gambling problem, or if they have an issue with it, that family members can reach out to, just so that at the very least there is a lifeline that's out there, and we make that clear to ensure that if somebody might be going down a dangerous road, that that we can get them help.
You're for strong unions too, and this is one of the things which I find to be infuriating. As you go out into some of these Republican areas and you talk to union guys, and they say, "I vote Republican," I said, "Do you understand that if the Republicans could do it, they would outlaw unions, and they could make Minnesota a right-to-work state tomorrow?" And even all the Republicans who have said, "I'm pro-union, I'm pro-union, I'm pro-union," they would run to vote to get rid of unions in the state as much as possible. If you really are for keeping strong unions in Minnesota, you got to vote for the DFL, because they're the ones who truly are there to defend the unions.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, I think it goes back to how successful nationally the GOP, you know, messaging and smears against the DFL has been, where, you know, to me, it feels like a no-brainer that the DFL is the party of the working class and, you know, pro-union, pro-worker. And really, that's kind of part of what I'm trying to do out here in District 28A, is just let people know that, you know, I want to have a strong workforce here. I want to have strong unions, and want to make sure that we can put our communities in position to, you know, to have people that can be a part of these unions and have great jobs.
You say you're at some of these festivals that are going on here. I just saw the Cambridge guys. Your Cambridge, your royalty was at the Hopkins Raspberry Festival. They came through. They were part of that parade there. What's the next big weekend event up in your district that you got circled on your calendar that's coming up here?
Yeah, actually, the Santee County Fair is this week.
Nice.
It starts on Wednesday and goes through this weekend. So the DFL is going to be there. I'm going to be there, and just really going to be interacting with the community and just putting myself out there. I want to hear from people, and, you know, I don't live in a silo where I just want to hear, you know, praises or things that people support. I want to be able to have respectful conversations and, you know, be able to hear constituents out and hear what their concerns are. And, you know, like I said, I come from advertising and marketing. I'm used to having, you know, my ideas challenged, and I think that's healthy, you know, if it's done in a respectful way. And I just, again, want to be able to communicate with the community and hear what they have to say, and hopefully just have some nice productive conversations where we can hear each other out.
Eric, this is the point of the conversation where I take over for a quick second here. Because all the DFLers, all the Democrats are listening out there. Help your local DFLer, of course. But if you're in a relatively safe seat, I need you to take some – well, why not go to the Isanti County Fair? That's coming up this weekend. Head on up there. Help out Eric Johnson in 28A. You can actually pick up some seats. This is not necessarily the long shot it once was. This is a district that's becoming more urban. There are more people that are living up there. And the Democratic message resonates. You're hearing it from Eric himself that it resonates up there. And even some Republicans are starting to take his side on this issue. So if we send enough people up there to volunteer and to donate, guess what? We might be able to pick up 28A. And that goes a long way to making sure that the DFL holds the Minnesota House. So, Eric, if people want to find out more about your campaign, how to volunteer, how to donate, what's the website they should go to?
Yeah, they should go to eric4mn.com. That's E-R-I-K, the number 4mn.com. There's a secure ActBlue donate link on my website, but also there's a contact form where if people want to get involved or volunteer, just fill out that form. I'm going to be the one that responds to it, and we'll find a way to get you engaged and make sure that you can be a part of this too.
It's this simple. I mean, if you door knock on every door in your district, you're going to win. I mean, it comes down to it. So you need volunteers up there to go help out with that. So that's the marching orders, people. I need you to get up to 28A and help out Eric Johnson. Eric, E-R-I-K, the number 4MN.com. I'll link to everything a little bit later on and spotlight this interview. Eric Johnson, all my best up there in 28A, and thank you very much. I appreciate your time today.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Eric Johnson, Democrat of the day. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. I will say this once again, my point. Hey, if you're a Republican, you want to be the Republican of the day. Here's the deal. It's my questions, my show. I will not allow you to just go on a rant. You will answer my questions or I will cut you off. But if you do want to come on there and answer my questions, such as, I don't know, the big lie, is Donald Trump guilty of trying to overthrow the government of the United States? Are you for 10-year-olds being forced to carry their rapist babies? We'll talk about that. You want to come on my show? Come on the show! Come on down! You're more than welcome. More than welcome. Let's check those phone lines. And I have no problem doing it. But once again, my questions, my show. I will not let you go on a rant. But if you are respectful, guess what? And you answer my questions, I'll let you put your pitch out at the end of it. All right? All right. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. A disturbing story here. The Edina Police Department is investigating after slurs and derogatory statements were found written on a district-owned tennis court over the weekend. A spokesperson with Edina Public Schools said the district learned about the writings after being contacted by Five Eyewitness News, which reported anti-Asian, anti-black, anti-LGBTQ statements were discovered written in chalk across the tennis courts outside of Coleman Field on Sunday. I'm not sure exactly where Coleman Field is. We are saddened and deeply disappointed to learn that this has taken place within our community and as on our property. The Edina Public Schools does not tolerate behaviors and actions that target members of protected classes, groups. The messages expressed do not reflect our school district nor the values we uphold.
Coleman Stadium, that's the big football field off of
Old Edina East over there.
Yep, 100 and Benton there.
Yeah, okay, so yeah, that's, right, if you don't know, one time there was Edina East and Edina West. Edina East is, you can see the building there, they use it as a community center now, but it's right there off Benton and 100 there, right just north of the crosstown there. So that's where this happened. In addition to reviewing and updating policies accordingly as part of the diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts, Edina Public Schools continues our partnership with the City of Edina, the Edina Community Foundation, the Edina Chamber of Commerce, the YMCA United Health Group, Equity Innovation Center of Excellence to host One Town, One Family. These are community meetings focused on developing an action plan to ensure each of our students and staff experience an inclusive, safe, and welcoming community. This incident demonstrates the need for this to work and other efforts, we invite our community to join us in an upcoming One Town, One Family session this fall. Very nice statement from Medina. The derogatory comments have been removed, and investigating the incidents, the district concluded, adding the police report has also been filed. Let me make sure. You little bigots with the chalk. Let me make sure you guys understand what just happened there. You will get caught. I know. You're idiots because it's Edina. There are cameras everywhere. You may not think that they caught you. There might not be a camera necessarily focused right on the tennis court, but at the entrance of the tennis court, at the parking lot of the tennis court, I have a feeling. Oh, and I guarantee you that those cameras are running 24/7, 365. I would say this. My guess would be if it's a wealthy member of the Adana community's kid, Reginald, the police seem to be here to talk to you for some reason. Reginald, I might have to save that one. If that's the case, this might get swept under the rug. Hey, it is what happens. But I guarantee you, if they've got people who did this, they're going to find them because, you know, it was interesting. Like I said, I hadn't talked much about the Edina parade because that was the day of the shooting down in Chicago, and I was obviously dealing with my son. But when I was in Edina for the 4th of July parade, that is a far more blue, welcoming community than it ever has been. And I guarantee you that this is the tolerance for this sort of bigotry that's not there. They're going to find who did this. So good luck. Bon voyage. Devil's Radio, that's coming in. Native Roots Radio at 6. Have a good one. We are back on a Tuesday. Till then, see ya.